Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
So we're back with the 26th episode of the Golf Podcast. As usual, everything we talk about here, you can catch all the show notes by going to golficity.com/episode26. Last week, we had a lot of fun talking about how you can pick up a lot of cues from your baseball swing that you can use in your golf swing to really improve your game. And it's something that seems a little bit, you know, off the wall, because everybody talks about how a baseball swing seems like a bad thing, but there's a lot of good takeaways. So if you haven't heard that, make sure you go back and listen. That was episode 25. We had a great response to that. We've seen a lot of people tuning into the podcast lately, and we'll talk about that in a second. But this week, we mentioned this briefly at the end of last week's show. We've got a special treat for you. We're going to be talking to Ricky Potts. Ricky is the founder and the owner of the largest golf community on Google Plus. Ricky's also the digital communications manager for Troon Golf, which, if you haven't heard of them, is the largest golf management company, overseeing operations in 32 states and 27 countries. So if that's not enough, Ricky also owns and operates RickyLeePotts.com, which is a popular online blog. And on there, you know, I frequent it often. And I've seen he talks about everything from golf travel to reviewing beer. So he's got a little bit of his hand in everything. So we're going to get with Ricky in a little bit. We're going to bring him on the show. I'm excited to have that. In the meantime, Mike, I tell you what, we must not be the only ones chomping at the bit for this season to start, because the podcast has certainly been busy. What we have over 1,500.
Yeah, about 1,500 views today.
Yeah, just today alone, we've had that many people listen and tune into the show. So we really appreciate it. We love hearing that. And the more people we get listening to the show, the more feedback we get. We've gotten tons of great feedback. We've talked about here before some of the reviews that we've had and we've seen on iTunes and Stitcher. You know, we encourage you to please keep leaving those reviews. A lot of them we read right here on the show. So if you leave a review, there's a strong chance we'll mention it here. We made a couple of quick links so you can get to those. You can go to golficity.com/iTunes. That'll take you right to our iTunes page where you can leave a quick review. Or you can go to golficity.com/Stitcher. That'll also take you to our Stitcher page. So those are the two big ones. I know there's plenty of other places where people are listening to the show. We have podcast land. There's many different areas. But wherever you are, if you could take a moment to leave us a review, it would be a big help. Mike, what else is new with you?
Not much, Frank. I actually saw golf this weekend in our neighborhood. I was driving through New Jersey, and I saw people playing golf, and it got me really excited. So, you know, we're getting close there. Got a new wedge coming, and I'm really excited about this. I don't know. Have you ever heard of the Hopkins Golf Wedge Company?
Yes, I have, and I'd love to see that too. I want to get my hands on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you see the commercials all the time on PGA Tour and the Golf Channel, but I actually had a custom-built wedge coming in the mail. Built colors, specs, degree, everything, and I'm getting it engraved and everything, so I'm excited to get that.
That's really cool. I definitely am interested to see how that helps your game, because we spend so much time. We talk about this, and we've mentioned in previous episodes about getting our clubs fitted and getting these irons fitted, drivers fitted, but then far too many of us don't spend enough time with really looking at our wedges, and you know, you use them a lot. So I mean, something like that, you're getting it right to the specs you like, that's got to help.
Yeah, and one of the great features about this, and I'm sure we'll talk more in depth when we review it, is the fact that you click the part of the country that you're located in, and it knows that that territory has a different style of, you know, the type of earth or ground you're hitting off of, and it suggests how to build your club. So it's really neat.
Yeah, now that's cool, because we talked about before bounce. Not everyone thinks about loft, but we don't think about how important bounce is, and that's how the underside of the club. And as Mike just said, everything's going to be a little bit different. If you're hitting off of hard ground or soft ground, you know, that's really how that wedge is going to perform. So I like hearing that. That's cool.
Yeah. Looking forward to getting it.
Hey, did you get a chance? I know you were down in Atlantic City over the weekend. Did you get a chance to play at all down there?
I did not. That's where I actually saw these golfers playing, you know, so I didn't get a chance to get out there, but I got to think maybe 2-3 weeks, and then we'll actually have some real golf that we could talk about, you and I playing here on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to be down there for a week in July, so I'm going to try to hit as many of those courses as I can.
Yeah, great courses down there.
We'll definitely have to make a trip down there ourselves and try to, you know, knock out a few of them, and we can post the reviews on the golf directory.
Absolutely.
All right, so great. Like, let's go right in. Let's bring Ricky on the show. I know I'm excited to talk to him. I know Mike is as well. We've been conversing with him a little bit offline. So let's go ahead and bring Ricky on the show now. So we have Ricky Potts on the show. Ricky, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm pumped to be here, guys.
Well, earlier Mike and I were talking about the fact that you run the largest golf community on Google Plus. So can you explain a little bit of how that works for anyone who might not be familiar with the community yet?
Sure. So I've actually started deeming it the Google Plus golf community, and that makes me feel better, if nothing else. But Google Plus is basically a secondary social network, and I compare it a lot to Facebook. It's very similar, and anytime Facebook makes a change, Google Plus makes a change. Facebook has what are called groups. Google Plus has what are called communities. They introduced communities a little over a year ago, and I said, you know, I'm going to create one, call it golf, and see what happens. Sure enough, it became popular. Very early on, we got a lot of really engaged users that were posting a lot of great content, and it's to the point now to where there are so many users posting content on a daily basis, I don't even have to post anymore. It's just me moderating the things that are being shared. So if anybody is not on Google Plus, it's a place that, in my opinion, is the next generation of social networking. It's a much more mature audience. It's a more adult and engaged audience than anywhere else. And the community has since grown. And it was funny because I had 10, 12, 15 members, and I was excited that I had 15 people that wanted to talk golf. And hopefully within the next week or two, we should surpass 11,000 members, and it's growing every single day.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I know Mike and I are both fans of the community, and every time I check in there, it looks like the number is just, and I think you're well justified in calling it the golf community, because you look, there's other ones that are out there that are, you know, there's 300, 400 people in there, and they may be talking about like very specific things, but your community seems to cover a little bit of everything. I mean, you have it broken down to all the different tours. You have everything from, you know, posting from great little blogs that are on there, news, and you even do a lot of different hangouts in there. So I know the format is really great. It's just something that I think that you'll see growth with as people get more accustomed to using Google Plus. And we're seeing that even more and more, because now I know even just YouTube is so tied into it, right?
It is. And I, to the point that the content was so unique. And you know, for example, if somebody will share Tiger today, just pulled out of Bay Hill, so he's not going to be playing in Bay Hill. That's a big news story. I want one post about that, maybe two, depending on how it's written. I don't want 15 people just sharing everything about Tiger and his WD. So I moderate. I get a notification both on my phone and via email every time somebody posts something. So I'm cleaning that stuff up. Jason Boslow, who is one of the most active members in the community, is also a moderator. He helps control that. Jason, and also a guy named Les Bailey, who is just the most hilarious retired golf blogger you'll ever meet. On Friday nights, we have what's called the Friday foursome. It's literally four people sitting in a Google Plus hangout talking about golf. I feature a different person each week. That person could be a tour player. It could be a shirt manufacturer. It could be a club manufacturer. I've had anybody from, you know, the president of Miura Golf, who I didn't even realize used to work for the Golf Channel for 12 years. And last week I had Amelia Lewis from the LPGA Tour. Next week I've got, it's always changing. And I've actually have those booked through the entire month of August. So every Friday I've got something new coming that's creating just a different, unique content. And I just love the ability to be able to share that stuff with the audience that's growing inside of the community. And to the YouTube point, these are streamed live both to YouTube and to the Google Plus Golf community. The second the hangout is finished, it uploads itself to a video on YouTube. So I have additional content to be able to be shared elsewhere.
That's excellent. That was my next question, was how can our listeners watch the foursome or get involved with that?
So if you're not on Google Plus, if you are in Google Plus, you have to be a member of the community, and I will create an event each week that just provides a link that people can RSVP to and watch from there. If you're not a member of the community, at 6:30 local time, I'm in Scottsdale, so I'm on the West Coast. Now it's 9:30 EST PM on youtube.com/RickyLeePotts. You can watch it live stream, and then if you miss it and it's an hour later or a week later, you can go back, and every single one of them lives on my YouTube channel.
That's excellent. And I think one thing that you kind of started to touch upon, but I think is a big point to bring home here, is that everything to do with when you have a really successful social media, you know, when we think social media, sometimes we think of ourselves behind the computer, behind the smartphone, things like that. But real success is when you build real connections, you know, true connections. And some of the stuff you had mentioned, some of the people that you're connecting with and some of the people you're able to touch that you may not have otherwise have been able to gain access to is really excellent. I mean, would you think that that's the real draw for social media?
You know, I do. I am obsessed with social media. I do social media from the time I wake up before I get out of bed on my smartphone. I do it all day at work. I come home and I do it all night with the stuff I'm doing on Google Plus and my own personal brand. The ability for me to be able to just connect with someone, whether they're Les, for example, Les Bailey, who's a dear, I'd call him a friend, quite frankly. I've never met the guy, and chances are I may never meet this person, but I see him every Friday at 6:30. We talk, we know things about each other, we email each other all the time. So I'm able to connect with people all over the planet. Andy Griffiths just did a Friday foursome a few weeks ago. He's been all over the country teaching at different schools. He's involved with a Nike, some Nike training. He worked with Dennis Sales, who's out of Texas. He's worked with all these different people. Now he's in China. I'm literally on a daily basis on Facebook talking to him back and forth, whether it's through status updates or whether it's through just messages. And I've met the guy one time, but I talk to him daily. So yes, the ability for a social network to be able to, and I almost wish they'd change the name to something else, because social media becomes just such a, oh, it's Facebook, it's Twitter. Well, yeah, it's more than that. It's the relationships that are being built on a daily basis through these mediums that allow me the ability to share my story, my voice with these people that, quite frankly, I may never meet.
Right. And speaking as someone who truly gets it and gets the power of social media, when we see not only these communities where, you know, guys like us can connect on these levels all across the world, as you mentioned, but even seeing the pros using it as much as they are, and we're able to even connect with them on a certain level. What do you think the future holds for social media for the golf community? I mean, we see so many golfers on Twitter, as you talked about how rapidly your community is growing and things like that. Do you feel like this is something that'll truly help grow and expand the game?
I almost think, even to this point, that if you're not there as either a pro or an individual or a business, it's not too late, but it's too late. Like, there's no reason not to be. 24% of the Super Bowl commercials, and if you would have watched the Super Bowl, the commercials were the best part and they weren't even that good, had Twitter and Twitter hashtags referenced. That's a big deal. Those hashtags are relevant across all networks, but when the biggest brands in the world and the most viewed television show on the planet are referencing Twitter and 140 characters or less, that is powerful. And if a guy like Tiger, I don't know if Tiger is the one managing that account. I doubt it, because it's so very scripted, and I have a feeling he has a team of people doing that. But he's approachable, he's accessible, and it puts somebody that you would once think, I could never have any communication with somebody like Tiger Woods. Well, now he's right here at the tip of my fingers. So if you're a PGA pro or anybody that's utilizing social and you're not utilizing it in that respect, I think that it's almost to a point to where, you know, the conversation about you is going to be had, whether you want to see that and engage in that conversation or not.
And I think a great case study of that would be, you know, someone like Ricky Fowler. You know, look at a couple of years ago, you know, somebody who playing at Ricky's level has, you know, a win or two under his belt. You know, he may be kind of in obscurity, but he's one of the biggest names. He's one of the biggest draws for marketing because of the fact that he runs huge social followings. I mean, he's on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else. His following is extensive, almost to the point where you'd say he's gained more popularity there than he has on the course. And you'll see that someone like that is bringing more people even to the game, because you have, you know, a lot of social media is a younger crowd, and you're having these younger, you know, kids who are on Twitter and stuff like that. And they're seeing, you know, Ricky posting pictures right from the course, and you know, that's him using that account. I mean, we see him sometimes even on TV before or after a match, he has his phone in his hand. So it's one of those types of things where you realize it really is truly helping grow the game and expand the reach of an already very popular game, right?
What I hope happens, and I live right across the street from TPC Scottsdale, and I go every year to the Phoenix Open, and Ricky plays in it. Now, I'll give him a little bit of a break. He hasn't made the cut in the last 2 years, and I've only been in Scottsdale for a couple of years, but I've been this close to playing in the Pro-Am 2 years in a row, and I feel like it's going to be third time's a charm. So if and when I ever get into the Pro-Am, I better be paired with Ricky Fowler, because it would be hilarious to have Ricky and Ricky. We'll be walking down the fairways tweeting to each other. I mean, it'll be fantastic. Right. So, you know, Ricky is a great example of someone that has taken it and has embraced it. And I look at Google Plus, people that are, oh, Google Plus, nobody uses Google Plus. Well, actually, over 300 million people use Google Plus. And the people that are using it, that are getting value from it, are putting a lot into it. So you get out of Google Plus what you put into it. Ricky's putting a lot into his networks. Ricky's getting a lot out of his networks.
Yeah. And I think Google Plus is one of those things that you just got to make the commitment to give it a try, and then you'll love it. I know me personally, I find myself using Facebook and things like that much, much less. I think the usability of something like Google Plus is just, I mean, even the way the community is run, as you talked about, moderation, you being on there moderating it is a large part of that key. You know, having somebody who are actively doing that, so it's not just kind of stream of consciousness, impossible to follow. I mean, we see that on some of these things, like some of the more coming quick at you things like Reddit and things like that, where it's like, if you're not sitting in front of your computer, you're going to miss something. But here, you know, you have a stream that's easy to follow. It's easy to connect with people. It's easy to share. It's very intuitive. So, you know, as much as in the beginning it got a little bit of a backlash, I think you're right that we'll see a lot of growth in Google Plus, and especially because YouTube is grown so dramatically. And they talk about another place for, as far as, you know, it's like a golfer's dream. You have everything from the local pro who's showing you, you know, just recording himself and showing us some new lessons you can learn from, to being able to watch replays of any pro golfer's swing in super slow motion, wherever it may be. I mean, for golfers, I think being involved in a network like that is just invaluable.
And the PGA Tour has done a fantastic job with all of these networks. I mean, they have a team, an entire team of people. All they do is manage their social network, and they are very present at tour events. They have one or two individuals from that team travel or posting live updates or posting pictures. DJ Pajowski is doing a lot of Google Plus hangouts. Just this week, the LPGA Tour has started doing some stuff with Google Plus, getting active. They had just today, they had literally today over my lunch break, they had a hangout with Jessica Korda, who's here in Phoenix for the Founders Cup. And it's like, you know, the force behind that, to have a tour like the PGA Tour, everybody in golf knows that it doesn't get any bigger than the PGA Tour. If the PGA Tour is not only active, but it's active and posting a lot of great content, it's just kind of a field of dreams analogy. If you build it, they will come. Well, Google Plus has been built. Google is forcing users to it with the YouTube and the Gmail piece. And now users are starting to see the value behind it. And, you know, the sky's the limit with that. And I don't want to say it's going to overpass Facebook, because Facebook is the biggest animal in the room. But Facebook's trending downward as Google Plus is trending upward. And for somebody that's obsessed with the network as much as I am, that's a good sign.
Yeah. And I think that is the general feeling, that when people do start to make the switch, is that Google Plus is a little bit refreshing. If you've been on Facebook for years and years, just that new cleaner look. I mean, some of the way the groups are in Facebook, I've never really been a big fan. And even that, it's becoming so inundated. But I have to agree with you as far as with PGA Tour really recognizing that social piece. I mean, the revamping that they just did of PGAtour.com, that has steady streams from all across the social networks, which is great. You can see everything right there. Plenty of times, you know, at some of the different tournaments, Mike and I have been there, and we've run into in the media tent. You'll see as you said, everybody controlling that social media, and it's great because it's a way for us to stay connected. You know, if I have got my smartphone on Sunday, I'm not missing a beat. You know, even if I'm not in front of the television. And we covered this before on past episodes of the podcast. There's so much coming at you. It's excellent.
To that point, I follow the Golf Channel. Actually has a Twitter account of someone that follows Tiger inside the ropes and tweets his progress. And even if I'm watching Tiger, I get every single putt and shot and everything sent to my phone via push notifications. I see, if I'm watching TV, I get a push notification about 30 seconds before he makes his putt, knowing if the putt went in or if it didn't. So one of these days, I'm going to start betting my buddies and be like, hey, I bet this putt doesn't go in, $5. And then I know that it doesn't go in because, you know, and it, you know, it's just Twitter is specifically to Twitter. It's instant gratification. And if it's not something, I mean, it's just unbelievable how powerful something so simple as a public text message can be and how it's revolutionized how we communicate with one another.
Yeah, that's well put. That's exactly what my thoughts on it. And it's amazing. And I think we'll really see, as I said, some real leaps and bounds as far as growing the game. But let's switch the directions here for a little bit. And I want to talk about how we were mentioning in the intro how you're a man of many hats, because, you know, just looking through your bio, we talked here extensively about the community that you run. But as well as that, you're also the digital communication manager at Troon Golf, and you run your own, personal blog. And taking a look at that, I've seen, talk about different topics that you're able to cover, everything from travel to reviewing beer. So where do you find time for it all?
You know, it's so funny. I like beer, so I write a beer blog. I like music, so I write a music blog. I like to travel, so I write about travel on my personal blog. It's things that I'm passionate about. And, you know, when I go to work, and I work, well, 9 to 5 is more like 7:30 to 6 in my world. So when I go to work, I'm working all day, and I am just so blessed to be working for such a company like Troon. I worked for a smaller company actually out of Indiana for about 5 years, and Troon was one of our clients. Worked so closely with all of the guys in the office that it was a natural transition. Moved out to Scottsdale, worked remote, didn't even think about transitioning to Troon, honestly. Left to find greener pastures, no pun intended. Ended up getting a job with Gannett Incorporated for 6 months. Was miserable, and I can't tell you how miserable I was. Besides the hour drive and traffic every day, I just hated what I did. Long story short, I had a email from somebody that I had stayed in touch with at Troon. It just, all the right doors opened, and I have found those greener pastures, pun intended for that one, because it's all about golf. And I literally go to work every day and do nothing but what I love. I'm working with brands all over the planet. I mean, just today I was in a meeting with a golf app that is working with our international team and talking about things that they're doing in Dubai. And it's unbelievable that and they pay me, which that's the best part, is that I get a paycheck on top of it. And then I go home and I do things like this. I leave work, I drive home, I let the dogs out, and I sit down and I can talk about golf. I can talk about the things that I'm doing in the community. I can talk about my beer blog. I mean, if I'm going to drink a beer, why not write a blog about it? Because I'm creating that unique content that I have and have built an audience for online. And that all circles back to my thought process of the idea that I live online. I honestly feel like I pay my bills online. I pay my rent online. I get directions to where I'm going online. I book reservations. I book tee times. I mean, my calendar, my email, everything I do is not only just online, it's on my phone. So the ability for me to have all of these different interests, it's not as if I'm wasting time or I'm missing sleep or, you know, I'm so passionate about the things that I'm interested in that I find the time to work those into my daily life.
Right. And what I really like about that is it's not just something that, and when I said before how you really get the idea of social media, it's not just something where you're just coming home and say, well, I enjoy beer, so I'm going to, as you said, write about it. It's not just that you're putting that out there. You're forming connections because you're finding, through this power of social media, you're finding like-minded people who are saying, hey, I like that too. And you're learning new things. And it's not just, as I'm saying, it's not just a one-way conversation.
To that very point, just last week, I was on Google Plus. Let's go back to Google Plus for a second. And I have a page for my beer blog. And I was just looking through a community that I'm a craft beer community from that account. And I found somebody that posted a picture of a beer that we can't get here in Scottsdale. Beer trading is a big thing where you trade beers with people across the country and across the world. This guy had never done a beer trade. He's handicapped and he has a helper and he lives in the middle of nowhere, Kansas. And he was just so excited to drink this beer that I wanted to try. He says, well, I bought a 4-pack. I'm not going to drink them all. You want me to send you one? And he was joking. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Long story short, this guy had never done a beer trade. He had no idea what a beer trade was. Sends me just a random set. He sent me 8 bottles of beer and cans of beer from his hometown, none of which I had had before. And I was drinking one, and it was from a brewing company called Core Brewing. Loved it. Put a picture of it on my Facebook page. That's my beer blog Facebook page. Someone commented on it with the last name Core. And I was like, interesting. So I started communicating with him, and this is all within a period of like 5 days. Ended up being that Jesse Core is the Core from Core Brewing. saw that I had tagged Core Brewing on Facebook, completely separate than Google Plus, where the connection even started to getting Core Brewing in front of me. On the label of the Core Brewing are wiener dogs. We have two wiener dogs here at home. That connection sparked an email conversation, and now I'm going to be interviewing the guy that started Core Brewing because I met a guy in Google Plus who traded a beer with me. And like that is not just cool. That's just how my mind thinks. But that's life-changing to somebody like the guy in Kansas who didn't know 5 minutes before he met me that a beer trade was something you could even do. So the ability to connect with people across the planet in a matter of instant, I mean, in minutes, is just something that's unbelievable, but at the same time, all that being said, free to do. It doesn't cost me a penny. The beer trade did, but the ability to connect with these individuals did not.
It's amazing. So, you know, with that in mind, then, you know, if people do want to join the conversation and they're not sure, you know, how to get involved, what is the best way for them to get involved in the Google Plus community?
You know, it's just a matter, get there. You're not going to break Google Plus. Just get on Google Plus, create an account, and ask for help. If you don't know how to join a community, ask. If you don't know how to use hashtags, Les was just, I keep talking about Les, I make sure that he hears this. He posted something today asking, what are hashtags? That's a silly question to him. It's not a silly question because he might not understand the importance and the value of that. Well, then that leads to a conversation with someone else who says, Ricky's good at using hashtags, consult him. So I was able to help him. We took that conversation offline, and that was just something that he didn't even realize was in existence, but he's utilizing on a daily basis and seeing on a daily basis. So if you're new to Google Plus, get there, get active, join communities. If you've got an interest, there's a community for you. I'm into craft beer. There's a craft beer community. I'm a certified scuba diver. I'm in a scuba diving community. I'm into, you know, electronic dance music. So there's an electronic dance music community. There's into golf. Well, there's the golf community.
So with you, there's a fair chance that everyone shares some sort of common interest because it seems like you've got a little bit of everything going.
I think so. March Madness. I have zero interest in March Madness. So if you want to talk basketball, talk to someone else.
That's good because, you know, filling out those brackets would take more time than you trying to
I don't have
handle
time.
This thing. Yeah, exactly. So with that said, then, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you, be it for, you know, the interest with the blog or whatever it may be, through True and Golf? What's the best way for them to contact you?
You know, the easiest way is to go to google.com and search Ricky Potts. You're going to find everything and more than you've ever wanted to know about me just by doing a quick Google search. You'll find my website that has contact information. You'll find my Facebook page. You'll find my Twitter page. You'll find everything you've ever wanted to know about who Ricky Potts is. And that is a funny story. I'm playing golf on Saturday of last week, and the group in front of us was super slow. The group behind us was on us because we couldn't play through the group in front of us. And we get finished, and an hour later, I'm sitting in the snack shop. I'm having a beer, and this lady comes up and she's like, hey, I'm sorry about your experience. I know it was slow out there. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, thanks for saying that, whatever. I'm walking out and she's like, hey, are you Ricky? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, you work for Troon. And I'm like, huh? She's like 75, right? Like just this old lady. And I'm like, how do you know that? And she's like, oh, I Googled you. So my name is on my golf bag. On the golf course, she Googled me and found out. She's like, oh, we need to come see you. You were up in Scottsdale. And I'm like, it's creepy. But I put it all out there. So I encourage people to just find me and connect with me, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, YouTube, you name it. And a quick Google search of my name will put you right in contact.
Yeah, and I think some people, they do have that hesitation because they feel the same way. It's creepy. But once you take the plunge and you put yourself out there, I think you're going to find a lot more positive connections than anything else. You agree?
I could not agree more. I've met, and like I said, the people that I won't meet are some of my best friends, but I've met so many people around the world that I've met online that if I wasn't able to take that plunge and put myself in these situations and into these networks, I would never have had the opportunity to do. And there's so much value. And I'm just giving you a sprinkle of the value that I see in social media, whether it's me posting something to Twitter about a leaky faucet or me trying to book reservations for a dinner on OpenTable. It's endless, the possibility that exists with just getting yourself on and active these social networks.
I couldn't agree more. So I want to thank you for taking time out of that extremely busy day to come on the show. And what we'll do is we're going to include a link in the everything we talked about in the show notes. Let's see if we can't push that community over 11,000. Let's see if we can get some listeners on there and check it out. Because as you talked about, look, the more people in there, the more people sharing, the more we're going to learn, the more chance you're going to have to connect with people who, you know, who share similar interests. So I think, as you said, it's a win-win for everyone. But on top of that, it's free. So you can't beat that. But we want to thank you again. We really appreciate you coming on the show.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much for having me. And as my best friend in the golf community says, Jesus Martinez, general manager at Papago Golf Course, hit them long, hit them straight, and make more birdies.
We'll try. All right. Thanks again. All right. So I want to thank Ricky again. That was great having him on the show. I know, really interesting. I learned a lot. Mike, how about you?
Yeah, that was great. You know, I wanted to get this question into him. Like, do you think he goes a whole round of golf without pulling his cell phone out?
I doubt. Might be tough. I think the same thing of like these guys like Ricky Fowler, where they have to put it down, like we were talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, but you know, that's excellent. I'm just poking around the community now while you guys were talking, and this thing is excellent.
It really is. There's a little bit of everything on there, like we talked about it. And as much as we talk about it here, I think you really have to see it to understand it. And like I said, you just got to get over that hurdle. Or you may have heard, well, you know, Google Plus, and it's another social network. But listen, I'm telling you, as far as the structure goes, it's a great thing to use. So if you haven't tried it, like we talked about, it's free. Jump on there. I'm going to post a link directly to the community in the show notes. And then, as I said, if you don't already have a Google Plus account, it's easy to quick to sign up for, especially if you already have Gmail or something like that, so you could check it out. But as always, you can also, as you know, connect with us. Golficity is on Google Plus. We're actually all over it, so you can connect with us on there. I'll post a link directly to our Google Plus page, so you can connect with us, and you'll see that we're quite active in that community. So you'll be able to see us there. As always, on Facebook and Twitter, or you can get in touch with us on, as I said, on Twitter using the hashtag #TheGolfPodcast. So again, want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back with more next week, and we look forward to talking to you then.